हरिः ॐ सहनभवतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे राम हरे
So page 45. The Lord says, please accept this spiritual knowledge based on direct perception, pratyaksha, footnote 31. But Sri Krishna does not intend pratyaksha here to mean alaukika pratyaksha, which in the Western philosophy of our day goes by the name of empiricism, the direct perception of mundane objects with the jnanindriyas of the physical body. Human, quote-unquote, knowledge that depends upon limited, imperfect, fallible, and deluded sense perception does not enlighten a person at all. Rather, it is a great defect of conditioned consciousness. According to Sripad Ramanujacharya, perception of the transcendental reality is called divya pratyaksha, direct apprehension of divinity via senses that function in the mode of Vasudeva Sattva rather than under the three modes of material nature. Make sense? Yeah. So in other words, that divine vision is that you're seeing with your senses, but you're able to perceive transcendence, even though you're working with material senses. Right? So that's what, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point is that Shabda becomes perfect when you can see it. Right? At first you can intellectually catch it, but then when you can realize it, then you can actually perceive it. You look, you see the philosophy. Right? So that's what Krishna is talking about. So here you can actually, with the senses, you can see the Lord, you can understand in that way.
Maharaj, this is not referring to the spiritual senses of the humanities?
It's that it says the senses are functioning in the mode of Vasudeva Sattva. See, because technically it means on one level we would want to take it to that, to be, you know, the mind to be satisfied. But the point is this, it's how your senses are functioning. Right? That's the actual point. So, if you're working through the material senses, but it's functioning on Vasudeva Sattva, then you're getting that effect. Right? Now let's say, like we were saying, is the yogic Brahmins. They're there in the spiritual world. They may have spiritual forms and all that. But when they look, are they seeing it spiritually? Right, the karmakandis. So even if you're using spiritual senses in the spiritual world, if you're not functioning under Vasudeva Sattva, then you're functioning under the modes of nature. So that's the whole point. Is there when you're below that point, you understand? Do we understand when we're below bhava, that point, or when we're below liberation, then we're only functioning with material senses, right? When we come to samadhi in smarana dasa, then you can say that you're fully absorbed, though not necessarily to the, you know, perfect position, but from there on up, or at least let's say from prema on up, then that would be safer. From prema, you're only dealing with spiritual senses being applied in the, you know, topmost spiritual platform. Now, that point in between where you're liberated, you're not in the material world, but you're not in prema. That means both of them can function. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter whether you're in a spiritual body with spiritual senses, a material body with material senses. The point is the jiva has the opportunity to work seeing both. That's the meaning of being marginal. That's tathasta. Right? So we are moving from that tathasta position forward to prema or backwards into mahamaya. Right? Because we're too small to function on our own. And in any case, who functions on their own? You know what I'm saying? All the other, except for the Surup Shakti, everyone's functioning under the protection of the Surup Shakti. Right? But it's just a matter of whether you're dealing internally or externally. Does that make sense? So we're going to deal with the Surup Shakti as Yogamaya, or the Surup Shakti as Mahamaya. But as Mahamaya, she doesn't have to use very much of a potency. Right? And the medium itself is, you know, inferior. Is this all? Everyone's comfortable?
Yeah.
Positive sattvic, it is possible to attain in the material plane.
Yes. It means your Maya bodies and that can get to that platform. I mean, that's the theory. You can get there, but the point is they're in Vasudev Sattva, but they still have the Karma Sharir, that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So even though they're on that platform of pure goodness, their intent is still not that. They're still trying to be the controller and enjoyer. So they won't get happiness or satisfaction from being on the spiritual platform, because there's no engagement of the senses. They don't accept the spiritual. And they want to control and enjoy, right? It means, how do you control and enjoy if you don't have anything to control and enjoy with? It means you're just a spiritual spark. There are no senses. There is no body. There's no body, meaning you don't have one. And there's no body means no one else has one either. Right? You know, so it's lonely. Right? It's projected that it will be great. Just like so many things are projected, it will be great, you know. Tell you jumping off the, you know, highest bridge in the world will be great, you know, if you have a bungee cord attached, you know. But, you know, it may or may not be. You may perceive it as great. You may not perceive it as great. Does that make sense? Yeah. No? Okay. So the whole thing is you can be there. And every living entity in the primary creation, when they're absorbed in Mahat, when they come out of the body of the Lord, but before the secondary creation, they're all in Vishuddha Sattva. You know what I'm saying? That's why we put our emphasis is not on situation. It's on what's your intent. Does that make sense? Well, in the material world, it's all about situation. Right? You look at somebody, you know, you're driving down the street, you see a big fancy house, lawns, nice cars, and you think, wow, these guys are lucky guys. But it may be in that house is total insanity. You know what I'm saying? The teenage daughter is on drugs and pregnant, you know, the son, you know, hates the family and all that, goes off, does whatever, things like that. The wife's filing for divorce. You know, the guy's just been cheated by all his partners in the business. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell that from the outside. Driving by, everything looks fine. So that's the thing, we go by situation. But in the spiritual world, it's not about situation. Means that it'll have some meaning. Vaikuntha's situation has more meaning, but in Braj it has less meaning. Right? Not that they don't appreciate, but it's not about the situation that is special. The situation is engageable in the Lord's service. That's what's nice about it. Does that make sense? So why the Dham is special? Because everything about it can be engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, in the material world, it's not direct, it's indirect. You have to go through some stages to get it connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
So whether it's material senses, these are just facilities.
These are just facilities. Now you just, in other words, if you, you means you've come to a particular level of consciousness, then you're afforded spiritual senses to practice that with. Mm-hmm. You know, so then that's called Bhav Sadhana. But if not, then you're dealing on this platform. But in any case, even once on that advanced platform, or say someone like Prabhupada, you're still working with the external senses. But his intent is spiritual, so he's getting the full spiritual benefit from that. So it makes sense. But at the same time, as you're limited by the body can only do certain things. Next, the Lord then says to Brahmadev, that this knowledge, this divya pratyaksha, is very confidential. In what sense does the Lord intend the word confidential to be understood? Confidential means that divya pratyaksha is not made available to us so that we may take it cheaply. 32. An example can be given from ISKCON's early days of preaching in India. A gentleman claimed to have had direct darshan of the Lord's transcendental form. Srila Prabhupada's remark to him was, if you've seen him, you'll serve him. Hence, to take darshan at face value means to conclude that the sambandhi jnana, the jiva's knowledge or perception of the Lord's transcendental form, is the last understate word in spiritual advancement. In fact, it is only the first stage. Another example, yearly, millions of Indians devotees flock to Tirupati and Jagannath Puri to catch a glimpse of the deities. If this is as far as their relationship with the Lord goes, then they see him but do not really hear him, understand his teachings in Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. Such neophytes are categorized as prakriti bhaktas, materialistic devotees. Such is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. Missing from these devotees' spiritual lives is the maturation into prema bhakti of their sensory perception of the deity. How are we to tell when a devotee is distinguished by prema bhakti from ordinary worldly devotion? In this quotation from Bhagavad Gita lecture of 15th April 1972, Srila Prabhupada makes the distinction wondrously clear. Quote, first of all, you begin how to try to learn how to love God, and then, and when you are actually on the platform of love, prema, premanjana chudita bhakti, you will see God always in this form, in his form. He becomes revealed. You haven't got to try to see, but he will reveal. Shyam eva spirat yadha sevan mukhe hi jivadao. It is clear then that to see God, whether the Lord's original spiritual form or his deity incarnation, or as a natural manifestation like the holy rivers Ganges and Yamuna, or as Govardhan Hill, is for the prakriti bhakta the greatest success of religious life. Therefore, kanistas undertake arduous pilgrimages in order to get darshan of the Lord in the different modes of appearance. Seeing the Lord's form is certainly proper use of the human eye, but many other senses have been granted to us by the Lord also. The prema bhakta desires to use all his senses in Krishna's service as he sees fit. Srila Prabhupada often remarked, my Guru Maharaj used to say, don't try to see God, but work in such a way that God will see you. Because Krishna is Ishwara, the controller of all, this is most appropriate. He always witnesses our work. Indeed, his vision brings our activities to life. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Tahader Brita Jata Tomar Ikshane Svata Janme Prabhu Tumi Sarveshwara Shakala Jantura Tumi Swabhavika Nitya Swami Urhrin Mitra Praner Ishwara. When you cast your glance, then automatically all the souls awaken into their own different natures, propensities, and activities. Thus, you, my dear Lord, are the only master and controller of all. You are by nature the eternal master of all living beings, and you are thereby the dearest friend and Lord of everyone's heart. Gita Mala Song 2, The Lord's Glance, verse 2. If we hear from pure devotees how to engage our senses in devotional service, that pleases his sight, and all his transcendental perception. The Lord will be more satisfied to reveal charming forms and pastimes that even Brahma may not be able to see. But, so here he's pointing out is about this darshan, but being able to see the Lord. Now here is that darshan is based on that affection. Right? Being able to see in that way. It's just having darshan is good, but it's not, how you say, a goal. It's a means it has that element of a goal, but it's not the ultimate the goal. The ultimate goal is love. So in other words, seeing the Lord, then that's a situation. Right? And as I was always mentioned, that those that take a higher position as a goal as opposed to a situation, then are always on the lower platform. Does this make sense? Like we were saying, but someone who's being successful is a position of existence, is on a higher platform than the person who becoming successful is a goal. You understand? So it's the same principle. There's no principles that work on one platform that aren't working on the other. It's just understanding how they're functioning. Because it's one energy. Does that make sense? Yes.
So this is natural development. We start with sambandha, then we apply, then there is prayojana. Prayojana
yes.
goes back to sambandha, and then we start on the next level.
Yes. So then it becomes that prema is part of sambandha. It means, in other words, rather than it being simply just the goal, it's Krishna's pleasure is your goal. And you're performing that Krishna's pleasure from the position of prema. Right, so your relationship is prema. So now, for us, it's a goal to get to. But that's why sometimes you see it's called prema, but also it's called, you know, this trying to please Krishna. Because if it's prema, then that's what we're trying to do. It means someone you have affection for, you're trying to please them. So by saying prema, it means that. But just to make sure, then you can explain it as you're trying to please Krishna. You know, or trying to please Krishna from the position of love of God. Does that make sense? Because all of them are, of course, connected. But just for that fineness and taste, then they all have their positions. Right? All the sambandhavide and parajya. Yes?
We see an example of what you're saying when some devotees say that the ecstatic symptom of prema is disturbing their service.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because it's that, in other words, the sthaibhava is the main thing. Like that. That's the position you're in. That's your relationship with Krishna. Then then it becomes inspired. Right? That means the, what do you call it? Vibhava. Right? Because you have Sankarshan, then you have Prajumna. Right? So then you're inspired to function in that. You're inspired to serve Krishna. Right? Then, you know, so then that remembrance that something is there, then that will give the reactions of the mood of the mind, the subtle effects that the mind has in the body, and then the ecstatic symptoms, which in this case are the sattvika bhavas. So the sattvika bhavas get in the way. So the sattvika bhavas get in the way. So it means it's not that they're a problem. It's only a problem if you're trying to do some service at the time. So then, what does that mean? Now, why would that be pleasing to Krishna? Why? Because, of course, you could arrange it that no sattvika bhava happens when you're doing a specific service, right? Yoga Maya can arrange it that way, but why is it sometimes not?
Enhances.
It enhances, but how does it enhance?
It makes evident that the goal is not the sattvika.
Yes, that's the whole point. In other words, Krishna, pleasing Krishna is actually more important than whatever ecstasies we're getting. Right? So therefore, then there's even more ecstasy, because Krishna is pleased. So that's the whole thing, is it's always this interaction. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's about the relationship, because why? Now for Krishna, it's not so much, that's not the main point. Right? Because it means it's about the relationship, but it's not about proving that it's a relationship. It's just about that's the point. That's the position. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be different than the feminine. The feminine will have to be, for the wind to work together, the feminine therefore has to be the opposite. So therefore it's checking to see if they're important. But in the material world, then that's about themselves. In the spiritual world, is because they're the cause of Krishna's pleasure. So if Krishna is absorbed in them and not in something else, then that means he's getting more pleasure. Does that make sense? So in other words, it will look the same. It has the same, you know, methodology, just who it's about changes. Does that make sense?
Just like when Srimati Radharani built this place and she was feeling angry because Devata was with Krishna, he could have much more pleasure with her.
Yes, yes, that's not a well understood thing, is that the reason Radharani gets upset is because Krishna could be having more happiness. Right? So in other words, if it's her plus the other living entities, then it's complete happiness plus more. Right? So that's the thing. You see, 1 plus 1 equals 1 plus another 1, you know, like this. It goes, it just becomes more and more wonderful. But if it's only that other gopi, then it's going to be less, because she's an expansion, and possibly even expansion of an expansion. You know, so it just starts to get less. So therefore, that's what she's upset about. But the nature of it, it has that particular feminine form, so that creates that you know, nice interaction and everything. Right? So it's what people look for here, but it doesn't give the same happiness that it gives there. Slight detail difference. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Right, so therefore we're working that Krishna sees us. So it's not about us trying to see him, it's about Krishna seeing us. So we may make the endeavor to go there to see the Lord, serve the Lord, but it's about serving the Lord. It's not that just seeing him, then that's enough. That's the point being made. So it's not a problem that devotees are going to see the deity or going to the pilgrimage. It's that's all they're going to do. Right? Like here the man said, I had darshan. Yeah, so now what? That's always about, I had darshan, like the guy, you know, you're talking to this, you know, 50, 60-year-old man. Yes, I read Gita when I was 12, you know, so I know all these things. You know, it's kind of, yeah, okay, now. So it's not about doing. So if you see Krishna, you want to serve Krishna. So they're going to Puri, they're seeing the Rath, and then after they'll go back to their material life. Next year they'll be back again. So they're getting Agata Sukrita, they're moving forward. But it hasn't matured to where it becomes faith, where now you take up sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya.
That's why the Indians admire the Westerners. Right?
Because they're doing it. And they know this is what we should be doing, but we're too busy running after what the Westerners, you know, have given up. Right? Yeah. So that's the... Yeah. Yes.
Maharaja Prabhupada says the neophyte devotee just sees the deity in the temple.
Yes.
I always understood that to mean just that he doesn't see the deity and he can see Krishna anywhere else. But this brings out another flavor to it, that that's his only goal.
He's not seeing the pastimes, because pastimes aren't a goal. Pastimes are something involved in Krishna's pleasure in the pastimes. That's a goal. So that means you can always be performing something and always be pleasing Krishna. It's dynamic, because here a goal means you obtain it and then you sit back. Right? But there is goal means it's dynamic, it's always going on. So pleasing Krishna is something that can always go on. Therefore the activities that will please Krishna are always going on. And therefore a situation as his servant and serving him with the senses is always going on. So that's Prabhupada's point, is if you've seen Krishna like he's claiming he has, then he would be serving. So that means even if he saw, it's not on the platform praying. What's the point? Okay, nice. But there's no effect. You know what I'm saying? Just to be like this. You know, you talk to, you know, meet somebody. Yes, you know, my father offered me, you know, the whole, you know, business empire and everything like that. You know, and he showed me all of it, everything like that. Okay, yes, so then? Did you take it? Did you do something with it?
He offered.
Yeah, he offered. Yeah, he offered. You know, so yeah, I saw. You know, so that's the whole point. Is that yes, it's good, but you have to know what's further. Like that.
That's why Shlomo Bakhtinanda said, "We see with the ear."
We see with the ear. Yes, means for us, shashta chakshus means we hear, and then we see what we hear. Then it works. So that's actually how we're seeing is what we're hearing. So it depends on the quality of what you're hearing. You know, yeah, so that's why we're not really worried about what everybody else on the planet does. Because everybody else on the planet does not do the same thing. They really don't. Their values are different, how they go about things are different, everything's quite different. And so then this whole idea of worrying about that, that's only of worry so that they can understand Krishna. But they have to understand Krishna. It's not about them being comfortable. Yes, I heard, but now I'm comfortable in my own position. No, you want to become comfortable in serving Krishna. Is that it? Okay, so the Lord invites, please accept not only the theory of pure devotional service, but take from me the paraphernalia that gives life to this confidential knowledge. But when the obstacles of offenses are present, this confidential knowledge will be slow in coming. Right? So that's the whole point of the criticizing devotees. That will be the greatest thing that will get in the way. Right? Means all offenses are there, but that's the most. So if you're offensive in that you're attached to things, you know, or there's weakness, you know what to do, but you can't quite do it, you know, or you're not doing things properly, so there's offenses, you know, but the worst is fault finding. That basically gives rise to all the others. Therefore, the term tarangam must be properly understood. Tarangam, the paraphernalia required to engage in bhakti, is summarized by one word, sadhana. Sadhana, or the neophyte's practice of regulated Krishna consciousness, means the instructions of the Lord. His namavatara, his archa avatar deity incarnation, the rules and regulations of his worship codified by scriptural injunction, the prescriptions of achara, upachara, the association of Vaishnavas, and so on. In these ways, the word sarahasyam, the blissful experience of genuine bhakti yoga, is standardized. Standardization has to be, for how else can we know if our service satisfies the Lord? Right? Because otherwise, if we don't have love, how do you know that what you're doing is pleasing the Lord? Therefore, the activities of those who love the Lord, those become our sadhana. So this idea will make it up, but then we're following the sadhana of a conditioned soul. Right? Because if we're conditioned and we're following our own sadhana, then what's the benefit? Because you're supposed to... Okay, now we could say that in this case you're following one aspect of the rule, you're associating with like-minded persons. But more advanced than yourself, that one you're missing out on. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, just because your mind thought it up and it sounds good, unless it's in line with Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then it won't be useful. It has to be able to be connected to the Lord. Yes?
Marsha, in this sense, we are Raganugas, because the associates of the Lord, they are Ragatmikas, so we are followers.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's the whole point, is Raganuga will be that we do what they do, right?
Yeah.
We're not, how you say, how would you put it together? We don't have our Sanskrit, just Gringyanuga, or, I'm not sure how you'd put it together.
Gringavanuga,
okay. 76. You know, so it's a, that it's a matter of following the footsteps of the Raganugas. Now, they do dynamic things, but how they're doing it means when they do these things, we say we want to do these things and engage the Western thing, but can we engage it like they can? Can we, be there? We've invited all these high-grade British, gentlemen and their wives who all have very influential positions in the British society and are controlling it and therefore controlling all the Indians and therefore controlling the education, the direction and everything that the Indian society is going. And then invite them over and then be serving them coffee and tea. And then just sitting there and discussing Vedanta. You understand? Because those two don't go together. Generally, those who are, hard to Vedanta, forget the coffee and tea. Or those who could, we could do the coffee and tea, and then you'd be sitting there and just chit-chatting. You understand? So their Yukta Vairagya is so far beyond. It's like that one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told a disciple, go to, I think, the East Bloc or Russia to preach. And he says, but the only thing available there is meat and vodka, so how would we live? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at him and said, yes, I thought like that 10,000 lifetimes ago. So the point is that it's the preaching that makes the thing, so whatever has to be done, you'll do it. But you don't get involved, you don't get attached, you don't get distracted. But because of our conditioning, we will get distracted. That's why sadhana says don't do these things. Does that make sense? So that's why it's not common. So that position, when we take it that, oh, we're more advanced, we can do this. No, they're not. Advanced is what these acharyas call. Like Srinivasa Acharya. Was it Srinivasa? Yeah. He was there. He was giving advice to the king of Vishnupur. And Vishnu and the king made it mandatory. Only could be practiced as Vaishnav religion. So all the smart is left. That's what's called Vishnupur. All you see there is, if you go there, all there is old temples. Tons of temples in this one little place. Like that. So it's just, He was an advisor to the king, but we don't hear of him becoming proud or this or that. But we come in contact a little. I heard one senior devotee say, well, everyone's complaining that I fell down, but, it's their fault. They had me, put me in contact preaching with all these big celebrities and high rollers. Srinivasa Acharya is working with the king, not celebrities. Celebrities are small time. He's a king. Celebrities... The kings make the celebrities prominent because people notice them and then keep themselves busy. But celebrities don't control anything. You understand? So it's bigger. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it doesn't happen. Why? Because they're so advanced. That's why we stick to the sadhana, because we're not that advanced. So we have to be very careful on, as Prabhupada mentioned in Vrindavan, being more paramahamsa than he is. Right? He's doing the practices, so we shouldn't be more paramahamsa than him. Does that make sense? So the point is that this switching from one to the other, from vaidhi to rag, it happens, but externally you shouldn't see any. Means how you'll be able to tell the difference is that the sadhana of the raganuga is actually better than the vaidhi sadhaka. Unless the guy's a real hardcore vaidhi sadhaka. Okay, then they'll be really good. But just the average devotee, you'll see he's better at it. But other than that, you may not notice any symptoms. So it's designed that way, because like you said, being rupanugas means the whole point is raganuga. So all this thing of seeing Krishna and all that, that's supposed to be the standard way of viewing. But that's only by Krishna's grace. So we can deal with it. It's not a trip. It's not a club. It's just standard. It's just the normal way of dealing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Moreover, only pure bhakti permits the absolute spiritual need within each of us, the prayojan or fulfillment of our very identity as eternal servants of the Lord. Thus the word prema, pure love of Godhead, is to be synonymous with sarahasya, confidential knowledge, tarangam, the paraphernalia given by him that we may serve him, and sarahasyam, prema, are to be like two friends that help each other. In other words, your position and your goal. So sambandha is prayojana. So sarahasyam is prayojana, and taranga is the sambandha. Right? Then you'll apply that as abhideya, as devotional service. Right? So for us, it's being situated in that knowledge that we perform the devotional service. That's the relationship. Then you do something with it. Like we're sitting here in Mayapur. That's a situation. Right? Then you want to develop love for Krishna. You want to please Krishna. So then, in this situation, with that goal, you perform devotional service.
It seems to me that to establish your situation, it's somehow really difficult. It takes most of the devotees' time just to establish themselves in some kind of nice situation where they can practice, you know, sadhana bhakti or any devotion.
It's
and then they don't have enough time for the practice itself, because it consumes like 90% of the time in the West.
Yes.
Mayapur is different.
Yeah, but that's because of, it means in your description, then the key word was mentioned, nice. You know, in other words, the idea is if I have this situation, then I'll be able to serve. But in other words, you're engaging the same propensity you have in the material model. Is that, well, if I have all this, then I'll be happy, right? And he gets all this. It does come and all that, and it all gets arranged. But generally, he's at least late 40s, if not in his 50s.
Yeah.
And then, once he gets it, then he figures out it wasn't that great after all. You know, plus by that time, how much can you enjoy? So that same method is used. It's a matter of, okay, if Krishna consciousness is the most important thing, you know, because we're talking here family person, okay? And therefore, and my duty is to see that myself and my family are engaged in Krishna's service. Then what do we need to do to be engaged in devotional service? Because the direct activities don't really require any paraphernalia, much. Very basic.
Yeah.
Like that. It's the indirect that requires.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just need, you know, a little side table or a shelf or a counter as an altar, right? But, you know, the car needs to be a little fancier. You know, say so. If your altar is on the shelf, no one's going to say, "Why? It's just a shelf. Where's the big fancy, you know, Jaipur carved?" You know, no one's going to say that. You know, but if you show up in a shelf, you know, driving around, then people are not going to. Yeah, you know, so it's the indirect that actually is the time. So that's the problem. So is that okay? These are the activities we are comfortable engaging in at this level. How much time is left? That's the amount of time that you spend for developing those facilities. And then whatever facilities are there, that's what you live in. So it may mean the material develops slower. It may not. You know, because the point is as we said, the dock worker is working the same amount of hours as, you know, the guy with the MBA. And there's this, you know, but there's a slight difference in pay, you know. And then you have the guy that owns the company, right? You know, the guy on the dock, you know, like that, with the tattoos. You have the businessman sitting in the office, and then you have the guy that owns the yacht, you know, the dock company that's sitting on his, you know, yacht in the Caribbean. You know, so the thing is the same amount of time is being put. But they're getting such different levels. So the whole idea is, no, if I work more, I'll get more. It's how much more you'll get. You know what I'm saying? If in 8 hours I'm getting this much, so if I work 12, the maximum you can get, if it works out in proportion, is half again. You know? But then that 4 hours, where does it come out of? Because it's probably, I mean, if you can work it out, take it out of your sleep, then that, you know, great. Then everything else, do that. You know, I mean, Napoleon did it. Hey, why not? You know, like that. But, you know, maybe that was it. No one realizes, but it was the horse urine that was actually the key. Right? You know? So, no? No. That one's not going to work. Therefore, it's going to come out of either family time or sadhana or both. Right? So now if it comes out of family time, then everybody gets grumpy. You're not going to be able to do your sadhana. If it comes out of sadhana, everyone's going to be grumpy. You're not going to be able to do sadhana. So therefore, it doesn't work. So the problem is because they want nice. They're worried about the social position. Some of the best programs I've been at in devotees' houses, you go into their house, there's nothing there. Not because they, you know, they were just so refined they wanted nothing in their house. They didn't have money to buy anything in the house. They had a kitchen, you know, they had a dining table, simple. They had a couch. And they had a few mats to sit on. That was the house. I didn't see what was in the bedroom, but that was the house. That was the living room and X the other room and things like that. I was in a cheap neighborhood. You know? And they were doing nice. It was a nice program. People who came were nice. The hosts were nice. Everybody was nice. They were very serious. You know, and that's what they had. And this is what we do. We do our work. And this is what we got. You know? So the point is you do your work and whatever's supposed to come will come. So it's not we're saying you have to be live like that. We're just saying is don't put extra work. Because you won't get much. You know, for that extra bit there, no one's going to be satisfied. Right? Kid gets an allowance of, you know, $10 a week, he's not going to be happier by getting 15. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that much of a gain at the loss of everything else. It's not. Does that make sense? So it's just all there are is going on that, that the external is the real thing, rather than the mood and the relationships, the interaction is what's of quality. So. Okay. Okay. Next, the Lord gives a blessing so this jnana, knowledge, and rahasya, confidential paraphernalia, may be manifested. Also, this jnana, knowledge, means that it'll be applied, because chit means knowledge is applied. Right? So you have knowledge as sambandha, but also knowledge as avideya. So they go together. Because if you have the two, if you have thinking and feeling, they'll always be willing. They'll always be the endeavor. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.32. All of me, namely, my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. Right? So if it's awoken, then when someone's awake, what's the next step? To do something. In the above quoted verse, Yavan means eternal form. And yatabhava means transcendental existence. The Lord here says, I am like this. His forms include his dark complexion form of Shyamasundara and his forearm Vishnu forms. His qualities begin with his love for his devotees. His activities are his transcendental pastimes. This is the meaning of the words yadrupa guna karnamaka aham. Here the Lord says, let all these be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. Right? So that form and that love he has for the qualities. So the qualities, but they're based on love for the devotees. Therefore, for Krishna, all of his good qualities, which, you know, he is qualities, is engaged in pleasing the devotees. So that's why then for us, we take those same qualities and use it for serving the Lord and the devotees. Because that's what Krishna is doing. Does that make sense? Yes.
For such darshan, what's the requirement of knowledge?
What's the requirement of knowledge? That Krishna is special. He's important. Like the gopis, they don't, you know, they're not thinking about, oh, here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this, that. So you're not talking about a lot of knowledge here, but the point is that they're just, they have that natural attraction and affection.
Up to that level, we put more emphasis on the knowledge?
Yes. Okay, that's a good point. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that this whole thing of knowledge and sadhana bhakti, that has its purpose up to the platform of bhava. It means once we're liberated, then that method of endeavor is not important. So he gives the example of just like fire, right? It's burning up. But what does fire burn on? Wood, fuel, right? So that fuel is knowledge. So us burning up the anartas is based on our knowledge. Right? So the whole point is the first option, like the gopis did, was afforded to us the first time we came in contact with Krishna consciousness. So if we'd responded like them, then all the rest of it's not important, except for the set example of preaching like that. You know, the achar, like Jiva Goswami, doesn't need such technical knowledge for his own self. He has been empowered to be able to document that so that we may get benefit. Because as we see is that we have misunderstandings and misgivings when it comes to the philosophy and the practices. Right? So with this Tadagyam and Sarahasya. So these fine things, these fine points of philosophy then deal with all those different aspects. There's no need to bring something up unless there's a point to it. Right? Jiva Goswami is not interested in mental speculation. So he's not just doing it for some fun. He's doing it because there's an exact point there of distraction of the living entity, therefore he's addressed it. And so he's addressed every distraction that the living entity can have. So therefore, when one gets to that platform of bhava, then there's no need of that knowledge about Krishna. Now it's cultivating the attraction and to his qualities, to him as a person. So you do that by associating with persons who have that. Otherwise, have we associated with that person with prema on that platform? Right? Even if we're with someone, you know, we're reading Prabhupada's, we're hearing what Krishna says directly. We're hearing what Brahma says, Narad Muni, right? Arjuna, right? The Vishwanath, Baladev, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami. But we're not picking up their of love. We're just picking up, at best, a little knowledge, you know, on a good day when we're awake and, you know, not so distracted and, you know, depending on where the bucket's been placed, you know, then, you know, like that. So, yeah. So so here it's about, we've never done it. That's why we're here. If we've done that, we wouldn't be here. We'd be the 9 out of 10 that are already in the spiritual world. And so therefore, if we're here, then we're those who have come from there to hear, to preach. But if that's not the real reason we're here, then we're here because we didn't take up the association. It's that simple. Right? That's the point made by Vishwanath. The gopis that went to the Rasa dance, they all had the association of the eternal associates. Therefore, they had that drive and they went. Those that didn't come to that platform, they never associated with them. Therefore, it didn't happen. Is that something? And then there's those in between who would have taken up the association but may not have been technically advanced enough. They hadn't come to samadhi yet. But they were, you know, it was moving forward. So they would, their obstacle would be presented. They would get stopped by the relatives. That would create that full absorption. Then they were now qualified, and now Yoga Maya arranged that now they could get around the obstacle and go. Right? So we see that there were three levels. Okay. So, yes, it is true that this knowledge has a value only up to the point of bhava. But until we get there, it's useful. That's why it's recommended. So we see, why would the acharyas write unless it was, unless they thought that the devotees would study? You know, why would Jiva Goswami, just for an example, or Rupa Goswami, like that, why would we have the main literature and then we'd have a shorter literature? Why would we have Harinamrita Vyakarana and then we'd have Laghu Harinamrita Vyakarana? Because the idea, you're going to study the big one, so you have the little one to, you know, to get what's going on. Or if not, at least you'll do that much study. Or why is there Laghu Bhagavatamrita when there's Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Right? So that you get to understand the essence that's going to be there. Does that make sense? So the acharyas are pointing out, the study is here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur formalized Vaishnava education. Prabhupada did the same. So it's there. It's part of the process. But everyone, one can say, I'm not so studious. Fine, but you study as much as you can. You hear as much as you can. Someone who's more studious studies more. Someone who's less does less. But the point is we take advantage of it. The books are there. Association is there. So many things are going on. You know, started basically. You could give. I mean, it means you have to go back. Satsarup Maharaj really made it the first effort to do something like that. But it was, you know, again in the 90s with Burijan Prabhu and others, then they created that, you know, study program in Vrindavan, the VAHE. And so then it became, you know, part of the something to do again. Not that it wasn't going on before that, back in the 70s. And you had a minute, you sat down and studied. If you were on your own. If there were a few of you, then you sat down and had a bhajan, or sat down and read and someone like and discussed. It was just, that's what you did if you had some free time. You know, you didn't go, ah, me time. Right? You know, it's just you did something. Yeah, you know.
In the farm where we serve, there's no electricity, so we have candles to read. So okay. I like it that it's so many holes.
The candles, yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they could check how much they read by how many holes for Gita. Ooh, he's advanced. There's nothing left. Okay. Do we see here? So in other words, we've been saying it's all about Krishna. You know, like this. So we say, yes. So we say, and then Krishna, then it's being pointed out here is that it's all about Krishna, meaning that love for Krishna. Just seeing Him, that's the state that we function in. The Brajabasis, they're serving Krishna. So can they see Him? Yes. That's how they serve Him. They can see Him, therefore they're rendering service. Right? But their goal is not to see Him, their goal is to serve Him. Right?
See Him with the eyes tinged with the soul of love.
Yes, like that. So it's just like becoming free from material entanglement. Why is that important? Yes, so then you can serve Krishna without restriction. Right? Because now it's we want to serve and we get distracted by so many things. So being liberated means now there's no distraction. That's the importance of it. So these are only goals on the way to the supreme goal of love for Krishna. Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura writes in his commentary to verses 31 to 32. Krishna says, not only will I give you knowledge of my form, but also realization as well. Because there's knowledge and there's realization, so you can get. Moreover, this form is rarely understood, much superior to knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. Right? Because so in personal Brahman, that's a great step in spiritual realization, but Krishna's form is way beyond that. Much greater. Yes.
So this is offered in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can get different levels of understanding of the Bhagavatam because it's all inclusive.
Yes. Yes.
According to the
realization. Yes. Yeah, so that's why it's you see is that the new person reads a passage in the Bhagavatam. They get one understanding from it and they advance. Someone who's been around sometime gets more, so a more advanced gets more. You just see more and more. Because it's Krishna. Bhagavatam's directly Krishna. So therefore, then he reveals according to your position. But you're always in touch with Krishna, so you always get benefit. That's why it says, even someone, let's say, buys a book, never reads it, but they put it on their shelf, still, it's in their house. They're getting association. It's just a matter of time before themselves or someone picks it up. You have the cases where the child or the grandchild actually reads the book. Somebody bought it, but they never looked at it. But someone else came to the house, and then they read the book. And then they became the book.
Arizona or some kind of American desert somewhere where the road is very flat and no turns, no nothing.
Yes.
And he just felt that his tire of his car bumped over something and he was surprised. He went out and saw Krishna became laying on the road. He picked it up and he became devoted.
Yeah, that's Krishna. Because if it had been anywhere else, you wouldn't think about it. But, you're out there where it's so flat and
it's so empty, no
cars, there's nothing out there.
Nothing.
Yeah, and it's perfectly flat, smooth, straight. Yeah, so a bump. Now that's excitement. What's on the road? Because he didn't see an animal or something. That's far out. So far out. Okay. Continuing on 47. I will explain what is intimate, rahasyam, prema bhakti. Realize prema bhakti, which is accomplished by that knowledge of my form. Prema is well known as rahasya from statements such as, quote, I will speak to you the most secret knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.49. I will also explain by my mercy about sadhana bhakti, an anga of prema, though you did not ask. But thus I will explain three things, my form, prema bhakti, and sadhana bhakti. Moreover, though you ask about these three through instructions from me, verse 29, I will explain this in four verses so that materialistic people do not understand, since it is confidential. By mention of prema and sadhana bhakti, it should be understood that the Lord also teaches about chanting the name of the Lord, which is explained in the first canto, and which is more secret and more excellent than the most secret knowledge of the Lord's forms. The Lord will especially give understanding to Brahma, and therefore he instructs him to try to understand, even though he is already attentive. Knowledge that is beyond the senses and which is true should appear to some degree in those with pure hearts who have faith. Vijnana refers to realization of that entity beyond the senses, direct vision of my Swarup as it is. This cannot occur without prema and sadhana bhakti. Knowing this, the Lord gives blessings for that purpose. Through his blessings alone indicates my mercy. So this whole point of wanting to develop that love for Krishna, that being the goal, and by practice of sadhana bhakti, then those two, then one can actually realize the Lord. Right? So it can't be one or the other. If it's just sadhana, then you have the smartest. If it's just the idea of prema, without then you have the sahajas. Knowing this, the Lord gives blessings for that purpose. Right? So if you know that, the Lord gives blessings that you can do that. Through his blessing alone indicates mercy. Although this blessing alone indicates mercy, the Lord adds the phrase, mad anugrahat, out of my causeless mercy. This indicates that by the gradual increase of sadhana and prema bhakti, which are special functions of the Lord's supreme kripa shakti, then Brahma realizes greater degrees of sweetness in the Lord's form and qualities. He will realize directly the braja form of Krishna, sweeter and rarer than the present form of realization. Thus, other explanations of the four verses propounding the impersonal aspect of the Lord are naturally defeated by this verse. Right? So the four verses, just taking them as impersonal, then that's already shown as personal. So here's then that your point yesterday is that from this, then he will actually come to the point of understanding Krishna in Christ. Therefore, then he could understand how he's a maidservant. But at that point, he didn't know detail. So that means he has an idea that that's nature and that's what he wants to do. But he didn't have that position where he was functioning like that. Yes.
It's mentioned here he's speaking in a way that the materialistic will be confused.
Yes, because he does it four verses. Because it's concise. That's it, Vedanta Sutra. It's concise. That's where you can get confused. Right? Where it's fully explained in Bhagavatam, then that's why we don't see the Mayavadis using that as a literature. I mean, some do. But they're foolish, because Shankaracharya avoided it, so they should follow in his footsteps.
It would seem that there's some impersonal explanation in the Chaturshloki, on the last sentence.
It means people will see, because he starts off with how he's everything and all that. So they'll take it that that's the highest. So I think we'll come across that as well. Okay, so here he's bringing out this point of that the sadhana, knowing the Lord, the sadhana, the knowledge of the Lord, the practice of that, and knowing the goal is prema bhakti. If these two are in mind, then one will naturally engage in devotional service. In the two introductory verses to the section, 31 to 32, the Lord promised to impart knowledge to Brahma and give him the required qualification to realize such knowledge by bestowing blessings upon him. So just having the knowledge isn't enough. So as Vishwanath pointed out, that itself is blessings, but then you require blessings to be able to understand it, to realize it, to use it. The Lord now teaches the first aspect of this knowledge concerning the spiritual and material forms. This is the answer to the question asked by Brahma in verse 26. Quote, May I please be informed how, in spite of your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. Right? This is a very big thing. Now he's dealing with creation, right? The secondary creation. The Lord is the primary, but he can't make the secondary without the Lord, but the Lord is transcendental. So how does he deal with both of these? Because basically you could say is that anybody who's dealing with the concept, monotheistic concept of God, this is where they'll have a problem. Right? How God is transcendental and beyond at the same time, how he's in control, how he is. Because we say everything is God, but then at the same time, how can he be the mundane?
Therefore, he would be mundane.
He would be mundane if he's the mundane. And if he's beyond, then he's spiritual, but then he has no control. Does that make sense? So that so-called respect is still not that respectful because, he's supreme, he's pure, he's everything, but he has no control over his own creation. So that's a bit inept, So that's not really a glory of God, So that's the whole thing. Or he becomes, I think it's, I'm not sure what it is if it's Norse or, Roman or like that mythology for one of the main or the original gods, then they took his body and then from that created everything else. Sorry? Norse. Okay. Odin. Yeah, so it didn't work out so good for him, right? So you always have these kind of things. So then they can describe what's happening on this side, and then the monotheists can talk about what's on that side, but they can't bridge the two. That's the difficulty. So you see, the pagans do well. All the pagan civilizations, they were very highly developed materially. Way more, it would take the West, 1,000 or more years to come up to the same level as that they were at. you know, the when the monotheism came in. So, but at the same time, as you know, they couldn't explain beyond, right? But they did well here. And then the monotheists, they were able to describe beyond, but were not able to work with here. And so therefore, you see, they all started off very, very poor and destitute because they didn't deal with here. And then with time, as the necessity was there, they tried to introduce it, but it's always a difficulty how to combine these two. So we see is it's a very important question. You know, it's a question that's not able to be addressed by others. So Brahma is asking it, you know, here directly of the Lord. Right? Because the Lord is doing it, so he can explain it. Touching his forefinger to his chest, the Lord says, Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So, I guess the Japanese system of pointing to your nose is not the actual original system. 33. Okay. In his comment to verse 33, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur clarifies that the word asam, I alone exist, does not mean that before the creation, the Lord simply existed without doing it. The statement does not exclude other actions, since the verb as is connected with all other verb roots. If one says, Chaitra existed in that village last year, it does not mean that he did not eat, did not sit or sleep there. Though Eva can indicate absence of these activities, he only existence, by the sense of the statement, it means he performed these activities.
Right. Does that make sense?
Because if he says, I existed before, then you might think he just existed and there's nothing else there. But he means he's doing whatever he did. An example given is a Chaitra. He existed in that village last year, but it doesn't mean he wasn't doing things in the village. Right? It means, in other words, existence is where you do things. Right? Your existence is where you do things. Is that? Yes.
The Mayavadis will interpret that this is exclusive existence. That
yes.
He existed, that's it.
That's all. So that's why he's saying the Eva, they'll use that, they'll take the strength on that, rather than take the Oz. You know, so that's the thing is, they take what's secondary and make it primary. So that's the weakness. That's why Bhagavatam is so good. It shows what's the primary in any situation. And so that means it's always progressive towards Krishna. Because as that, if you take that and that primary, but in the next higher situation, it's the lower. You know, so it means, in other words, you have Krishna as the cause, and then the effect is his expansion, but then that effect is the cause of the next effect. So then you take it back, it's the same way. Okay, the Bhagavat Sandarbha says, the word asam, eva, exclude actions such as creation which are subject to the awareness of persons with material bodies, such as Brahma. However, the words do not exclude the Lord's spiritual activities, right? By saying that is that Brahma and others can't know about it because it's before their creation. But those words don't apply to the Lord. That's the problem. They're applying it to us, therefore it applies to the Lord. However, the words do not exclude the Lord's spiritual pastimes. If one says that presently the king does not perform any activities, it means he does not perform his activity as a king. That does not mean that he does not eat or sleep.
Is that? Yeah.
Sometimes it is said that only the impersonal Brahman existed, In answer to this, it is said in this verse that Brahman, which is superior to effect, sat, and cause, asat, is not different from me. This means that I alone appear as the impersonal Brahman in some scriptures which cannot express the various qualities arising from my sarup, because the readers are not qualified. So if they're talking, discussing about the Brahman, not in context with the form, that's because the people who are reading it won't understand it. You talk about form, they get confused. Like I remember I mentioned about we were asking one pundit from another sampradaya to give ways to chant Brahma Samhita. And so he's looking at it, but he's one of these ones that he can give a lecture in Sanskrit, so it's not that he has to sit down and get out his dictionary like this. He just looks at it, and he gave us his chant, but he was saying that there's something wrong in this verse. You know? It's just because, you know, Sarvakarana Karanam, and it's Krishna, you know, and it's supposed to be Mahanarayan, you know. Because Mahanarayan will be the original. Then, yes, all of the Narayan forms come from him, all of the Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Manman. That means, but that Krishna is the cause of Mahanarayan, that it just, he was saying he couldn't catch it. So does that make sense? So there are those who can't catch if there's anything beyond Brahman. So therefore the scriptures talk, at least they're talking about God. Right? And you could say it's monotheistic. Right, you know, it's only one Brahman. Right? So, it works. You know. But you should know me, endowed with form and qualities, because you have my blessings and mercy as expressed in the previous verse. Right? So previously mentioned you have the mercy, therefore when you hear these things, you will be able to understand the personal aspect, while others, they can't. So it means if someone can't, that means they don't have the mercy of the Lord. So if they're attracted to the impersonal scriptures that seemingly are supporting impersonalism, and that's what they're gaining, means they don't have the Lord's mercy. Right? By karma they do. Right? They're studious, they're austere, they're focused, they're situated in goodness, they value the scriptures, have faith. So they're able to study and develop themselves there. But because they don't have faith in the Lord as a person, he doesn't give his mercy, therefore you can't get that. So one would say, well, how will they get? So that's because they associate with pure devotees. Then in that association, then they start to catch about the personal form. Right? Then with that mercy, when they read the same scriptures, then they can see it. Yeah, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then, by association, his brother-in-law expressed things. Then coming in contact with Lord Chaitanya, then he could see that the same verses that he interpreted one way actually meant something else, meant more. It's not that they didn't mean what he thought. It was just that there's so much more deeper meaning. Right? So it becomes revealed by the Lord's grace. After the creation, that universe alone is observed and not you. In answer to this, the verse says, even after creation, only I exist. I exist as Bhagavan in Vaikuntha, and as Paramatma within the universes, and as various avatars such as Matsya at certain times. You are not the earth, devatas, or animals. Does that mean that you are incomplete? Does that make sense? So here's this. After creation, the universe alone is observed and not you. So one could say, no, but I don't see God, I only see the universe. He's saying that because he exists there, and then as you come down, then it's his different energies. Because as Bhagavan, he exists in Vaikuntha. Here he's pervading everything as Paramatma. That takes some training. Right? And then otherwise you won't see him. But he comes as Matsya and that, but then you have to have that faith. So that's still, again, by association of devotees, you get the Lord's mercy. Then, you are not the earth, devatas, or animals. Does that mean you are incomplete? Because if he's everything, but he's not the earth, the animals, and the devatas. The verse answers, I alone am this universe, a tat, as a whole and composed of individuals. Because the universe is generated from my energy, it is my material form. Though he doesn't have a material form, because it's his energy. Because Krishna doesn't transform, his energy transforms. He's always, does that make sense? Because you see his energy, there's that we can work on both these sides. But it's not that he turns into Shiva, Shiva turns back. No, that's different. But he remains. Right? I mean, in other words, if the external internal potency is manifested as external, you don't see the internal. But here, he transforms as Shiva, but you still see Vishnu. So there's a difference in how he acts in his energy. You have asked... Okay. You have asked, because the universe is generated from my energy, it is my material form. You have asked to know about my spiritual material forms. This is the material form. I alone am the Supreme Lord, expressed by the words Yo Vashishyeta. You alone remain, and you are known as Ananta Seshnag. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.353. Yeah, so it's a, I think he's more contemporary. You address somebody as Yo, you know. This is very old. The word aham is repeated three times to define the Lord, who has a supreme form situated through all three phases of time, and endowed with form and qualities, which is visible at creation and destruction as the inferior form of the world made of matter. Thus, not because Paramatma maintains, so you can see him as maintenance. As creation and destruction, you only see the universe. Because his energies are empowering others to do that. But he remains before, because it's his power. But he can't transform and still be producing the power. Right? He still have to remain for that power to be there, to be effective. Thus, knowledge of the superior and inferior forms of the Lord has been explained. Okay. Brahma should have realization, vijnanam, of the first, the superior spiritual form. This realization will occur when Brahma can relish the sweetness of the Lord's form and qualities by praying with bhakti, produced through hearing and chanting. This will be explained in the fourth verse. But so if you, of the two, you should know about the Lord himself, his original form first. Then you get into details of how he's expanded and he's become the material. Somebody says, because if you start from this side, you won't really make it to that side. Does that make sense? If I start with the reflection, I don't really understand the original. I start with the original. Then the reflection makes sense. Right? Because the original is the cause of the reflection. Srila Prabhupada concludes, any stage of the cosmic manifestation, its appearance, its sustenance, its growth, its interactions of different energies, its deterioration and disappearance, all has its basic relation with the existence of the personality of Godhead. And as such, whenever there is forgetfulness of this prime relation with the Lord, and whenever things are accepted as real without being related to the Lord, that conception is called a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. Because nothing can exist without the Lord. It should be known that the illusory energy is also an energy of the Lord. The right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relation with the Lord is called Yoga Maya, or the energy of union. And the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relationship with the Lord is called the Lord's Daiva Maya, or Mahamaya. Both the Mayas have connections with the Lord because nothing can exist without being related to him. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships from the Lord is not false, but illusory. Right? So that's a very nice explanation. It means it's real, but it's illusory. Right? Because its effect is illusion. Right?
that's what the materialistic would not understand, because they look at energy but they cannot see how it goes back to the transcendental.
Yes. So therefore they're an illusion. Mm-hmm. It's real, it's there. So this idea that Maya bodies have, it's not there, that's illusion. Because it's a fact, it is here. But what you value it for, what you think you'll get from it, that's illusion. And that you think it's not connected. Even if I understand, you know, what I can get from it, where does that come from? Even if I understand how it's Brahman, but where does Brahman come from? So that's why Brahman realization or Paramatma without Bhagavan realization are technically material concepts. Because we understand all three together, therefore it's actually spiritual. It means we'll identify them as transcendentalists, but actually it's not complete.
Because only the Bhagavan element will remove the Karana Shalila.
Yes. Like that. Yeah. Otherwise, then we will always think I'm the controller and enjoyer. But when we accept Bhagavan, means you're accepting him as a person, and we as a person are serving him as a person. So. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the next verse spoken by the Lord is an answer to the question asked by Lord Brahma in verse 27. How you, by your own self, manifest different energies for annihilation, generation, acceptance, and maintenance by combination and permutation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Maya, material energy, acts partly favorably and partly unfavorably towards the jiva, trying to attain knowledge and realization of Paramatma. When you realize me, Paramatma, then only Yoga Maya functions. Thus, Yoga Maya acts only favorably. Since both of these should be defined in the verse, I will impart this knowledge to you. In verse 27, you have asked about the qualities of Maya and Yoga Maya. Yatatma Maya Yogena. I am now giving the answer. O Brahma, because Vishwanath always fills in between the verses, means what's the connections. Means, in other words, what is Krishna thinking, what's Brahma thinking? Because we've only heard the verse. So Vishwanath, that's what he generally always brings out. That's his. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy. That reflection which appears to be in darkness, right? Which appears to be in darkness, because the material energy isn't in darkness, it's the Lord's energy. We're the ones in darkness. When it talks about darkness, it means us, the conditioned living entities. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, the great personalities are here, and they're doing fine. Why? Because they see everything in connection with the Lord. Right? So do we see it? Because we're, again, by situation, it's a situation in the material world. You know, therefore, you know, I will be materialistic. No, it's simply our mentality. That's why, you know, we're here, and that's why we see the way we see. We change the mentality, technically we're not here anymore. So it comes back to us. We're creating our own problem, and then complaining about it. You know, it's someone else's fault. You know, and then ultimately we'll say, well, why did God make him like that? It's just that doesn't mean he's supposed to take it. Okay. That's verse 34. Srila Prabhupada explains, misconceiving one thing for another is called illusion. Right? It's not that it's not a fact, like a rope for a snake or a snake is a rope. That's illusion. The snake exists or the rope exists, and they both exist. For example, accepting a rope as a snake is illusion. But the rope is not false. The rope, as it exists in the front of the illusion person, is not at all false. But the acceptance is illusory. Therefore, the wrong conception of accepting this material manifestation as being divorced from the energy of the Lord is illusion. But it is not false. And this illusory conception is called a reflection of the reality in the darkness of ignorance. Anything that appears as apparently not being, quote, produced out of my energy, end quote, is called Maya. The conception that the living entity is formless, or that the Supreme Lord is formless, is also an illusion. Because we're just taking it like that. So, because we're dealing with false ego. But now, let us say someone is very proud of whatever their position, whatever they know, whatever they can do. Can you teach them anything? There's someone who's open to that. It means they're humble. They're willing to learn. Right? You can teach. So it's not actually the illusion that's the problem. Right? Because one person doesn't have knowledge, but he's willing to learn it. Another person doesn't have knowledge, he's not willing to learn it. So it's the real problem. Yeah. The false ego. Right? So what's the false ego?
I am this.
Identify with it. I'm the controller and enjoyer. I am this body. I am this, I'm that. So that's the real problem. So even if you get rid of the externals and then you deal with only the subtle, then you think it's superior. On one level it is, but it's still, I'm the controller and enjoyer. It's still mundane. Yeah. Having described Maya and Yoga Maya in the previous verse, the Lord now describes how he performs pastimes in the material and spiritual worlds, which are subject to Maya and Yoga Maya, respectively. This answers Brahma's question in verse 28. O Master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. So infallible means whatever he decides happens. Infallible means you want to do something, it doesn't happen. Right? You know, but infallible means whatever you decide, that happens. So only the Lord is infallible. Right? Devotees in connection with the Lord become infallible. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Yes. Oh. No.
It's very clear.
Yeah, isn't that fun? Yeah, Lisa, we're talking on these four points all the way through the last 4 years, so when we actually get to them, then it's, yeah, of course. That's a nice one. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I am outside of everything. Because he and his energies are non-different, therefore he pervades everything. He exists. And he, as a person, and he exists, he enters everything as Paramatma. But at the same time, he is Bhagavan, the source of his energies and his incarnation, exists beyond all that. 35. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Just as the elements, such as ether, enter into living beings, such as devatas, men, and animals, since they are acquired by the jivas, and at the same time do not enter into them, since they remain a separate existence. Right? So space, we have space. In the body has space. Right? You know, I mean, the most famous being between the ears, right? You know, other than that, there's all, you know, like in the nose, the mouth, stuff, you know, there's space. Like that. So here, said the asuras, the devatas, the animals, so everywhere. But at the same time, space is still there outside. Yes?
Space of false ego. Isn't it the most external stuff?
Space?
Yeah, but.
Space? You said space and false ego?
No, space of false ego.
The space of false ego.
Like Westerners, we don't like to say clothes, there's no Indians. Isn't it a space of false ego?
Isn't space. It's a kind of false ego. It means you have means, as we mentioned, there's four levels of false ego. So the grossest is where you take the five elements, right? So because in there you have to have space, but what should be kept at a distance in space. Yes, no, that's there. But there's the, you means, in other words, the other person's earth, water, fire, and air should be at a distance, you know, at the point of, you know, some space or ether from my earth, water, fire, and air. You know, like that. You know, though there's a touch of space also. You understand? So that's the grossest. That's what's connected with the false ego, because that's what you see. Right? Then the intelligence and the senses, that's the next false ego. And then the mind and the emotions, that's the next. So one's in ignorance, that means the body is the ignorance. The intelligence is passion, the mind is the goodness. Right? Then beyond that, then is the... So you understand? So you have the gross externals, which is the stula sharir. Then you have the subtle body, which is the linga sharir. Then beyond that, you have the fourth, or the original, which would be the false identity that I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the karma sharir. So in that way, then, all those egos go together. So it's all ego. You know, it's just which kind of ego, but it's all ego.
What Lord Kapila mentions, enumerates and says conditioned consciousness, is that the point?
Yes, conditioned consciousnesses, or it's also can be referred to as citta, you know.
Also, karma sharir, citta would be karma sharir.
Basically, yeah. Like that, you know, but it's also, you can say, in the heart, because if Govinda is in the heart, then you're dealing with pure consciousness, so then you don't have that karma sharir, because then you're dealing with original mind, intelligence, ego, like that. So therefore you can have on that consciousness level the original, though one's still working with the mechanics of what's here, right? You still have the body made of the external elements. Right? You're still working with the elements, mind, but it's being controlled by that's the original mind, intelligence, and ego. I also enter into the elements and the living beings, and also do not enter into them, remaining separately in my abode, which is Shuddhasattva. The entrance of the elements into the living beings is without attachment, since the elements are not conscious. Like the ether, though I am conscious, like a man who lives in his house without attachment, I remain without attachment while entering, regulating, and protecting all beings. My pastimes are without attachment in relation to the elements and the living beings within the material world. He's not saying he's not attached to the living beings in the spiritual world. But he's saying in dealing with the living entity who identifies with the material world and the material world itself, then it's like the man in the house that he's not attached to. Like that. You know, giving the example back is that the elements enter into something, but the elements themselves aren't attached. You know, say it's not that, you know, the earth particles that are now in your body are attached to being in your body. You know, and as the soul is trying to leave, then the body's pulling the soul back. No, don't leave. I like it here. You know, it's not happening. So in the same way, as it goes on, the Lord lives within the body of this universe. That's his material form, without attachment. He's not attached. So the problem is we're attached. And then we're worried, I'm upset that why isn't he appreciating my attachment? You know, it's just like the child likes his toys all over the room. Why doesn't my mother appreciate this attachment? But I desire to show myself to my obedient devotees who have entered my heart, who have perfected themselves and bowed to me, remaining separate, not entering their hearts. I desire to offer my beauty to their eyes. I desire that my fragrance enters their nostrils, and desire to fill their ears with the nectar of my sweet voice. Speaking with them and answering them, I desire to make their lips experience the soft sweetness of my body by touching and embracing them. Thus, situated inside, my devotees, and externally as well, I perform pastimes with great attachment for my pure devotees beyond the gunas, whom I cannot give up. So he's made the distinction here, is that there is how he deals in the material world, but then there's how he deals in the spiritual. Right? So that means those devotees who are sincere, devotee Krishna himself is dealing with them directly. If not, as a devotee, anyone who's taken up Krishna consciousness, Krishna is dealing with them, but through the external energy. So then she's dealing favorably. As I mentioned, Yoga Maya is favorable, Maha Maya is not. You know? Like that. It means in how the forms you see. Right? But the point of Maha Maya is so that you surrender to Krishna and take up association under Yoga Maya. So, summarizing the first three verses from the Chaturshloki, Srila Jiva Goswami states that transcendental knowledge, 33, confidential transcendental knowledge, 34, and the different aspects of that knowledge, 35, were explained. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals that the last verse from the Chaturshloki gives the method for realizing this knowledge. So you understand? So you have... Yes.
I just wanted to clarify, does that mean that all of them are sambandha and then there's different aspects of
the... No, it's technically you're giving prayojana because he's talking about affection. Right, so you have the two aspects of sambandha, then abhideya, I mean then prayojana. Then the last verse is abhideya. Right, because you have the sankarshan aspect and the prajumna aspect, right? Means these, if you look at that, where it's okay, it means okay. Okay, that's 35. Okay, whatever it means. Oh, that's the first one.
One more question for you.
Okay. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, where it was nothing but myself, nor is there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Right? So you're talking about just the existence, the facts, right? Then you get into the next one. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So now it's about what you value, what you're in attracted to, what you're inspired by. So the first is Sankarshan, the second is Prajumna. Right? Then the third is Aniruddha, right? As the goal. Does that make sense? So goal is either on the material platform of he is the material energy you're trying to get, what you're looking for here, or in love, then the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, right? Then the fourth verse will be Vasudeva, right? So the first two are Sambandha, but those two aspects, Sankarshana and Prajumna aspects of Sambandha, okay? Then the third will be Aniruddha, so Prayojana, and then the fourth is Vasudeva, how you'll apply this. You can also see is that the first one is basically talking about how Krishna is pervading the Brahman aspect. But he is the person who is extended as Brahman, never just Brahman exclusively. Then how he is Paramatma is in everything. Then the third one is in Bhagavan. Is that somebody's sense? So that's what he's saying. He's giving it in a concise form so those who aren't devotees, they'll get bewildered and they won't be able to understand it. Because it's confidential. Is that? Yes.
So margin that third verse because it's dealing with Bhagavan.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yes. Because what we're looking at is Bhagavan. Why is there? Because we're talking about the material world, but it's talking about how he's entering it, but at the same time, he is a person who's not interested. Right? He's doing it because the living entities are his parts and parcels, so he has affection for them. But that's for them, not for the situations they're in. So he's creating those situations according to their interest. And that way his energies has entered and he as Paramatma has entered. Right? So he's there, but he's without attachment because they're not interacting with him, so he can't reciprocate. So for him, that's not, you know, special. Does that make sense? Yes.
And that answered the security of the living for that. The surrender to God, that he's interested in what I also want, but it means I'm in a disadvantageous position. But yeah. He's not interested.
He's beyond. But the point is, still he's taking care of it. He's still taking care of it. So, and then it shows the other side of it, but in the spiritual world, there the living entities have that affection, so therefore that's where he's dealing and that's where that attachment is. Because I'm in their hearts, they're in my heart. Right? But here in the material world, then that they don't have God in their hearts, so therefore God, how can God be in you know, be there? How can he have them in his heart? Does that make sense? No?
But despite that fact, he's still in the heart.
He's still there. Yeah. He's there, but it's not what he wants to be doing.
Not Babylon. Not Babylon.
Yeah, you know, it's just like the guy's walking his dog, and the dog stopped for specific purposes. Is the guy really interested in what this fire hydrant smells like? No, but because of, you know, that affection for the dog, he's there. But it's not that situation and all that and what's going on, he has any interest. So it's like that. Yeah. Huh? Very gratitude. Hopefully it doesn't give him nightmares. Okay. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur reveals that the last verse from the Chaturshloki gives the method for realizing this knowledge. In other words, it's Brahman, Bhagavan, and Paramatma. Okay. In verse 29, Brahma requested instructions with Bhagavach Chikshitam Aham Karavani Hyat Andrita. Please tell me so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the personality of Godhead, and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. Right? So how can I function in the material world, do my duty, but not become overwhelmed, not become conditioned myself? Right? So that's by remembering the Lord. If you see it in connection to the Lord, then you don't, that's not a problem. The Lord now speaks on the sadhana for attaining the Lord. But because it is very confidential, it is not understood by materialistic persons. One should not be dependent on extensive study of scriptures. Persons desire to know the best sadhana for the self should learn from the feet of the guru, jigyasyam. Right? So it's not that there's not study and following instructions, but it's not that because I'm studying, that's how I'm going to learn. Because I'm pleasing the guru by studying, trying to follow the instructions, then him being pleased, Krishna's pleased, therefore, by Krishna's mercy, then we understand. Yes? No? That's okay. We'll stop here and then continue after with the next verse.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.